Much. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word, we do pray that your spirit would be with us, that you would speak through your word, that you would help us to see our lives clearly, and you would help us to make choices to follow you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, youth, for getting yourselves together. And actually, everybody needs to get themselves together, because what I'm hoping to do this morning is to actually unpack the word of God together in quite a different way. Than we normally do, to discover together. So it'd be great if you can find yourself sitting next to somebody else so that you're able to have some time discussing your own thoughts and discussing the Word of God. So, you know, shuffle now, find somebody who you feel comfortable to chat to, and that would be good. So, as Rob said, today is the last in our series of work and rest, plus play. And there's two, and I think this is a great topic. It's highly relevant, though the Bible doesn't really directly say anything. It doesn't have like, okay, so Jesus sits down. Okay, now we're going to talk about play. And how do you deal with play? We don't have a direct teaching about how do we think about play and where does it fit. But there's lots of things that are relevant that help us to understand what play is, and how does it, you know, where does it fit? Also, I think with our society today, the big thing is about pleasure. You know, your life should be ordered to maximize your pleasure, to minimize your pain, and play is pretty central in that for our society. And as Christians, I think sometimes we're not really sure what do we think, or we can judge one another, or we just feel guilty about should I be doing this thing or not? Is this good? And so I'm hoping that together we're going to kind of answer some of those questions. The two big questions that I want us to pose, one is, where does it fit with work and with rest? The other question is, does play fit into the category of kingdom? Is it a kingdom thing, or can it be a kingdom thing that leads us to worship, that leads us to recreation? Is it a good thing? Or is it something that's worldly, that leads us away from God and into idolatry? So those are the two big questions that I want us to ask. And here's the cheat sheet that you all needed earlier to answer the kids. What's work? What's play? What have we been learning? I've got it in one slide, what I think kind of picks up the last 4 weeks to tie together today. Helpful for those that haven't been here as well. So we looked at God's work. What's God's work? In Genesis, we see God bringing order out of chaos and making a very good creation. That's God's work. His rest, I remember Rob's using these two things. God rests on the seventh day to give us a pattern for human flourishing that we might copy, and also to give us a hope for an eternal rest. But there's an eighth day. And on the eighth day, the goodness, the order of creation is broken. And sin creates chaos. And what's Jesus' work? Jesus' work is to bring order out of the broken creation, the chaos of the broken creation, and Jesus brings eternal rest now, the Hebrews rest of today. There's an opportunity to enter into God's rest, and he models for us how can we rest even when there's still brokenness. The way that he retreats, he prays, he is with God, and he's refreshed and renewed. So he models for us what rest looks like. And then here's the cheat sheet for the answering the kids. What's our work? As Christians, what's fundamentally different about our work is that our work is partnering with Jesus in his work. So that is outside of what we do for pay. That is outside of what we do just to make, you know, our families function, but it is how do we partner with Jesus in his work of bringing order out of the chaos of a world which is broken by sin to be reordered under him. And we also get to participate in his rest that begins now and is complete in eternity. So hopefully that's helpful for where we've come to, and it might help us to start to answer that question, where does play fit? And what is play? So I had a look in the Oxford Dictionary, and this is what it says about play. Play is, as a verb, to engage in an activity for enjoyment and recreation rather than a serious or a practical purpose. So take a moment to think for yourself Where does play fit for you? What do you think about play? Is it work? Is it rest? Is it good? Is it bad? A moment to think, and then you're about to start sharing with each other. All right, I'm going to give you 3 minutes because we're kind of running quite a lot behind time. With the person next to you, share with each other. What do you do for play? What falls into that category of something you do for enjoyment that doesn't necessarily have a purpose, though I think we'll see that all play has purpose. Why do you play? Why do you do that thing? And how would it impact you if you couldn't do that anymore? Go for it. Okay, sorry, it's not very much time. But I hope that's caused you to stop and to think. Okay, so you've identified at least, okay, this is what I do for play. And you've started to think, why do I do it? And in a moment, you'll get why the last question is there. What happens? What would happen? What impact would it be for you if you could no longer do it? I'm going to give you more time now. As we read this passage of scripture, I want you to, like, if you can't see it, like, you can look it up on your device, but hopefully, young eyes up the back, can you read it okay? Awesome. So I want you to discuss together one question as you read this, and I want you to look for the answers, discover what this passage of scripture is saying. So you're not bringing in other ideas from outside, just have a look at this, and one simple question: what can we learn here from what Jesus says that helps us to understand the place of play? Is there something here that's relevant to help us to work out that whole thing of, is play work? Is it rest? Is it good? Is it bad? Ask those questions of this text. Even though Jesus is not directly addressing it, this is one passage of scripture I think helps us to start to unpack play. So you got it? So I'm going to give you 3 minutes to discuss, and then I want to hear the answers back from you. Okay? Go for it. So the question again, what can we learn here about play that helps us to understand the place of play? Thank you. We could spend a lot longer there, I know. But what are some of the things that you noticed? So try and keep it short, tie it to a verse, but fire out to me. What did you notice that's relevant that we can learn about the place of play from what Jesus says here? Who's going to fire out something that you noticed? Wonderful. Okay, so as much as our attitude towards it, and is it something which brings health, or is it something which is an obsession? Great, fantastic. What else? Okay, interesting. So there can be an other focus, something which grows and is a blessing to others. Wonderful. Thanks, Christopher. What else? Yeah, absolutely. So it can be that these are two competing desires, and does it lead me to serving God, or does it lead me to serving something else? Thanks, Sophie. Anything else that stands out to you? Yes. Yes. So play can subvert the pursuit of money, but sometimes why do we need the money so that we can buy the stuff that we need to play? You know, it gets pretty tricky, doesn't it? Like, it's interesting how each of these things are quite internal things as well. Like, so where is your heart? Where is your treasure? What do you see? And does that seeing bring light or darkness into you? What do you serve? You can't necessarily look at me and what I do and how I play and make a judgment of what those three things look like for me, because they're quite internal. And so it's an interesting thought of that. We need to do like our thoughts around play in some senses together and openly and have the sort of discussions that we're having rather than sit from a distance and go like, oh, that person, they're just obsessed by gaming. Therefore, what they are doing as play is destructive, but to actually have that conversation together. Anything else that stands out to you? Or maybe let me sum up here. Three different illustrations that really quite interestingly bring us to think about what is our focus? What is at our center? What are our heart desires? I just want to unpack a little bit. The eye is the lamp of the body, because it's a bit obscure. And it says, if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. And it's quite interesting. The word that is used for healthy, haplos, brings a whole bunch of different implied meanings that we don't just get from the English with the word healthy in the Greek. And there's three things that sit there: undivided loyalty to God, which help you to see how it fits with the two either side, the treasure and with service, with a detachment from material possessions and therefore generosity. Those are three things that sit there. And as we look at, you know, these three things and we ask ourselves, does play lead us to place our treasure in heaven or on earth? Does it lead us to have healthy eyes that bring light to our body and light to our path that we might grow in our devotion to God, or does it lead us away from God? And does it lead us to serve God, or does it lead us to serve stuff? I think it raises really that question of idolatry. Is it an idol? Is it a thing that we actually worship? You may have heard me with these five questions before. I personally just find them so helpful. This comes from Tim Keller from Counterfeit Gods. How do we know if the thing that we do for play has become an idol or not? Tim has five really helpful questions. Four of them are directly relevant. First one is, what do I daydream about? When you're not thinking about anything, when you close your mind, like close your eyes, where do you wander to? What's the thing that you think about? Where does your money get spent? So this is what you brought up before, James. Like, you know, where is the big investment of your money? Where does that go to? This one may be not so relevant unless you're praying about your play. How do you respond to unanswered prayer? What causes my strongest emotions, my highest highs, my lowest lows, the things which really get me emotional and wound up, what are they? And what could I not live about? So I asked that first question without. What could I not live without? What would happen if your play was taken away? Where would that leave you? Five really helpful questions that come from Tim that help us do a little diagnostic. Where am I? Has my play fallen into the category of idol or not? And I got this quote from him, but when I looked it up just to check that I remembered it right, it was also attributed to a bunch of other authors. But anyway, it's quite helpful. A good thing, something which is good, something which is life-giving, marriage, relationship, friendships, sport, a good thing which becomes a God thing, so it becomes central, it becomes essential, actually becomes a bad thing if it takes the place of God in our heart. That's a really helpful quote. All right. Very quickly, what does Jesus go on to in Matthew 6? He actually goes further away from the topic of play because he starts talking to them about worry, anxiety, and worry for financial and food security. Now, when you're in that state, and this is directly relevant for those that you're speaking to, you're not thinking about play. That's a higher order need. If you know Maslow's hierarchy, you need your basic physiological needs for safety, for food. And Jesus is saying, even those, don't worry about it, but seek first God's kingdom and God will provide for you. But I think it's quite curious, like just at the end there, have a look at verses 33 and 34 and how much the words that Jesus used actually resonate with play. 32, sorry. For Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. So we do eagerly seek material possessions, financial security. But even how much do we eagerly seek play, pleasure? And instead, what does he say? Seek first the kingdom of God. How relevant is that as we start thinking about play and the place of play? Seeking first the kingdom of God, that's our work. Is it possible that our play can actually be part of that work of bringing God's kingdom, bringing Jesus' order and renewal into the broken creation? So it's a thought just to hold on to for the moment. And now I want you to work again. We haven't seen this passage of scripture yet, so how about I read it out? But as I'm reading, it's the same questions I asked before. What in here can help us to understand the place of play? And again, I'm going to give you a couple of 3 minutes to discuss it together and then fire back some thoughts about it. So, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone, you're really only fooling yourself. You're not that important. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. for we are each responsible for our own conduct. Don't be misled. You can't mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So go for it, discuss. What can we learn from this that's relevant for the question of play? Where it fits, is it good? What do we do with it? Go for it. Again, I'm sure that we could spend a lot longer here, but who's willing to start firing out some thoughts? What has this prompted you to think about the place of play? Go for it. What has this prompted you to think? What have you added? Like, what else can we learn about the place of play from this passage of scripture? Hang on. Yep, go for it. Yes. Yep. Yeah, wonderful. Great. So if our play brings us together, it also gives us that opportunity to build relationships, and the sort of relationship where we want to grow together. Like, look at the words there. You know, we have concern for one another, that we grow in godliness, And we gently and humbly restore one another. Like we're not sure, is like even in the context of play, has this become an idol for someone else? Maybe it's even become an idol for myself. Let's have an open conversation. Let's gently, humbly restore one another, guide one another and direct one another towards growing in our faith in Jesus. Wonderful, thank you. What else? There was somebody else over here who was going to share something. Absolutely. Yep. Great. So, like two great things that Sam put there is like, okay, what's our balance? one question is, what does our play do? But is that also the most effective way for us to grow in godliness? And that feeds up into the top bit of like together again, like, are we choosing the way which leads us to grow in our relationship with God the most? And we have a pretty good capacity as humans to convince ourselves, oh, I'm doing this thing because it builds this relationship with others, which creates a gospel opportunity, which is kingdom work. Therefore, this is good. But if we're really honest, we know that we're just being selfish. Yeah. I think, does everyone identify with that? And it says, God knows, as much as we might try and convince ourselves, as much as we might try and convince someone else, we actually need to be honest. Honest with ourselves, honest with God, honest with one another, which ties in that last little bit in the middle. Don't just focus on others. Pay attention to your own work as well and to your own state. How about I pull up a summary slide that kind of, hopefully ties everything together. So have a little look. The question, what does your play do? So we're not talking about the balance, how much play do you do, but when you invest in play, I think of Jesus saying, you will know a tree by the fruit that it produces. This is like the fruit. What is the fruit of your play? If you have a look down in the green section, the bottom right, these are things which I think actually are kingdom related. Some of them are individual and they'll be rest. So does it lead to recreation? To refreshing, to renewal, to a deepening of your relationship with God. That's very much my experience of like going into the wilderness. It's a place for me where that has that renewal. We see Jesus doing that. He retreats from the busyness of his work of ministry to quiet places to pray. But it's actually also being deliberate. It's doing that connection with God in that space. Or other things, it does. It builds relationship with people. Can it bring people to Jesus? Does it create opportunity for the connections that allow you to tell stories of Jesus? It leads to worship. It blesses others. And I think we have some great examples of that. Anglican Camping Tasmania, like the ministry that happens there is largely based around play, especially the outdoor camps. But it's a point that creates connection and gospel opportunity. It's very deliberate. Even amongst Scripture Union, there's a camp called Decipher. And that's really, they're based around gaming, which can be obsessive, can be destructive, but connecting with gamers and in that context of that relationship, sharing about Jesus. John Stanley, and I know many others, like using Dungeons and Dragons as a point of connection and a gospel opportunity. I played my first game ever the other day, and I went from mildly skeptic to going, actually, this is really quite fun. This is quite enjoyable. And I started thinking, it's like, surely you could do it like a campaign that actually tells the gospel in the midst of the campaign. I've seeded that idea to somebody else. But the bushwalks that Richard Lord organises, what a fantastic opportunity in play for recreation, for relationship. James Weller, who served here in music ministry, you would think, oh, well, that's clearly use of musical gifts for kingdom purpose. But he left to go to Sydney to be equipped as a music therapist, and he now uses those music skills and his passion for serving in mental health rehabilitation. Another great example of how his passion, his play, can be used for kingdom ministry. Jessie Whittle, when she gets back from her Europe adventure, is going to be doing like 100 kilometer in a day fundraising run for the new refugee ministry coming out of the Anglican Church. The playgroup on a Thursday is the kids playing while the adults talk, deliberately to be able to build community, to have gospel opportunities. So I think there is potential in all or most areas of play. There is potential for it being kingdom oriented, for rest or for work or for both at the same time. But we always are living in this risk, this danger of falling from something that we enjoy that can grow our relationship with God to something that takes us away from it. And I know that's been my struggle. When Rob asked me to share on this topic, I was like, oh, you know, I don't really want to, in a sense, Rob, because this is my everyday. You know, like you know, most people who know me, you know that I love the outdoors and I love sport. Most weeks there's kayaks sitting on my roof because Jake and I go off slalom training after this. When it becomes counterproductive, it consumes us. It leads to worship, not of God, but of other things. It's self-interested, it distracts, it distances, and idols. When we're following Jesus, we're led to self-sacrifice. When we're following an idol, we tend to sacrifice other people for our idol. And what do you do if you're up here? If you find yourself, you're stuck up here in this top left. Maybe very quickly to finish off, I'll just share two stories from my own experience. We might choose just to cut it off, to actually just walk away from that thing because we can't get on top of that idol. We can't move down to being something which leads us to God. Like one of my enjoyments or passions was canoe slalom, like whitewater kayaking that you see at the Olympics. When I was in high school, into grade 12, I got selected onto an Australian junior team. I didn't actually go on the team because, like, I was having that thing where, like, all of Tim Keller's questions, when I close my eyes, what I think about and dream about, it was kayaking. It was about to be a massive, like, a big expense to go on overseas to paddle. And I think I was reading Colossians 3 at the time. I was just convicted that I need to walk away from this. And part of me wishes that I could have actually worked out how to do that together. But that was what I felt the Spirit was saying to me. And so I walked away, even from paddling entirely, for about 3 years. I use it now for my work, for gospel ministry. And my desire is that it continues to be that effective thing, but I know that I'm always at danger. or it might be that you don't cut it off, but how do you go from being distracted, worshipping the things, to worshipping God? And again, this is just personal experience. Something that I found helpful is that sometimes it's just hard to stop. And so I can actually, God, I can be thankful. God, thank you that I can enjoy this thing. Thank you that I can enjoy this activity. That's a gift from you. That is a good thing. But actually, you are the gift. Thank you for your love of me. Thank you for Jesus. So move from the praise of one thing and allow myself to move to the praise of God. How about we pray? But hopefully in the midst of all of that, there are some helpful thoughts that help us to go, okay, our play can be kingdom building. It can function in rest, it can function in play. But we need to be careful and we need to do this together. Lord God, help us to live well. Help us to have healthy eyes so that you would fill us with your light. We would know how to live. Help us to have our treasure in heaven, and not in the things of this world which pass away. But help us to use the things of this world for your glory. Help us to have a detachment from possessions, from the things which many people rely on to find happiness and help us to have our joy and our happiness fully set in you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.